So I'm happy to be here with you and to thank you for the possibility to share something from the Word of God. And when I saw my name in the paper of the outreach and I saw that I was going to preach, I said, okay, God, give me something that I can share with them. And what I always ask to God is, please don't let me speak about something that I cannot teach them, in a sense, you know, that I didn't go through, that is not in my heart. So God reminded me of something He gave me in December while I was praying, while I was having my quiet time. God gave me this message. And actually it's just a reflection that I did just looking at the Word of God. And I want to share this with you as a family, as a body in Christ. And so I was looking at King David's life, and it inspires me a lot. I think David is one of my best characters in the Bible because he was called the man after God's heart. And I was thinking, God, why did you call him like that? I mean, it's something huge, massive. And as Christians, we would like to be called the man or the woman after God's heart. So I started to look at his life, and a specific moment of his life caught my attention, and it's in 2 Samuel 11 and 12, actually. And these two chapters speak about the adultery and murder that David committed. And if I had to find two sentences to summarize what God has told me, I would say two things. One, that the sin makes you blind. And second, that repentance moves God's hand. And I will start to read little by little these two chapters, and I would like to bring you in this kind of journey till the repentance of David. And the first verse I want to read is in 2 Samuel 11, the first verse. It says, "In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. But David remained in Jerusalem." Probably you've heard many times a message or a preaching about this, and probably many times you have thought about this, but David remained in Jerusalem. And the first thing that God told me was, David was not in the right place. He should have been off to war, not in Jerusalem. But he decided to stay in Jerusalem. And I don't know what David had in his mind at that moment, what his plans were. But he just stayed there. I don't know why. But I was thinking that a wrong place puts us in a very dangerous place, actually. A wrong place, for David, was a physical place. He shouldn't have been in Jerusalem. But what does it mean for us? It might mean physically a wrong place even for us, or a spiritual position. Probably we are not in the right spiritual position. Probably we are making wrong decisions in our life. Probably we have a bad attitude towards God, or we are keeping in us something that God doesn't want us to have. So I was thinking about, what is my wrong place and where is it bringing me? I would like to read some verses in Genesis 4, the verse 6, which kind of explains my thought and what God was trying to tell me by these verses. It says, "Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, Sin is crunching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. And for me, it's like God knew what Cain was thinking in his mind. At this point, he was thinking about killing his brother, but he hasn't done yet. And God is telling him, look, Cain, if you do what is right, so if you are in the right place, which can mean anything, in this situation could be the attitude or the good thoughts, you will rule over the sin. But if you do what is wrong, the sin is crunching at your door. So it's like God is warning Cain, be careful of what you do, what you think, and change your way, your road, in a sense. And this is what David actually did. And I want us to, for each point, I would like you to reflect and to bring it, as I said before, in a journey. Think, is there any wrong place I'm walking in? And maybe we don't realize it. Maybe something very small. It doesn't have to be big, huge. I don't think David was realizing what he was doing. He just said, okay, I won't go to the war. I'll stay in Jerusalem. And he didn't realize in that moment the danger of what he was doing. So where are wrong place bring us? The second verse of 2 Samuel 11 says, one evening David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof of the palace, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. As I said before, when we are in the wrong place, we are in a dangerous place. And temptation comes much easier. And it's even much easier to fall into it. Because you are not in the will of God, actually, if you are not walking in the right path. In fact, the temptation comes. I was thinking, all the men, so the army and the king, were supposed to be off to war. So nobody thought, especially the woman, that it would have been a problem for her to bang there. So she's not doing anything special in a sense, but because David is where he's not supposed to be, that becomes a tricky place, tricky situation. And I was thinking, okay, God, how then does the temptation look like? And God brought me again in Genesis 3:6. It says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. And so on. Three things. It was good, pleasing to the eye, and desirable. The temptation will never look ugly. Satan knows us, and he knows what are our weaknesses and the way we might fall into temptation. Especially when we are in the wrong situation and we are doing something we are not supposed to do, or we are where we are not supposed to be. It's very easy for him. He's quite clever, and we can't underestimate this. And we have always to bring in mind how a temptation look like. But then I said, okay, God, but if we know this, if we know that we don't have to be in the wrong place, if we know how the temptation looks like, why did David continue to do what he was doing? Why didn't he stop? And God told me, you know, the sin makes you blind. And I started to think, God, the sin? And he said, yes, because David didn't stop just to that situation. When he looked at the woman, he didn't think, okay, no, I'm in the wrong place. I will turn back and go to war and all these things. The sin was conceived in his heart already. And then he couldn't stop anymore. And that sin, even though in that moment physically he didn't do anything, even though later on he did many things, but in that moment he didn't ask for the woman to come. But in his mind, there was already the thought to do it. As in the case of Cain, what God was warning him. So I said, okay, God. So what happened when we indulge the temptation? We start to walk in a blind path where we cannot stop if anything happens, of course. And I even thought about the fact that when we are doing wrong, all these things that the sin has deceived us, we don't think that we are doing anything wrong because we don't see anymore. So everything seems fine. And maybe we start to think, yes, but it's not so bad, this situation. But that thing doesn't matter. It's okay. It's not that bad. I didn't kill anybody. Probably David thought the same, but actually then he did it. I'm not doing anything so wrong. Many people do this. And we start to find excuses and all these things, but just because we are not in a good mental situation, it's like something is, we are not focused. And the things are not clear. But what happened when we continue and we persist in what we are doing, even though it's wrong? Here it says that David did three things. He sent somebody out to find out who this woman was. He sent messengers to get her, and then he slept with her. So now it's not anymore David conceiving the sin in his mind and his heart, but it's David being blind, doing three specific things in three different moments, and he didn't mind at all of what he was doing. He didn't like, okay, I will send somebody out, and then, okay, no, maybe I'm doing something wrong. He continued to do it. And at the end, what happened? That the consequence came out. In fact, the Bible says that the woman conceived and sent word to David saying, I'm pregnant. So now what is the situation, the position of David? The sin is actually visible. And we cannot expect that what we do wrong, our sin, will not bring consequences. And be careful, because the consequences will not always be visible. For David, it was quite visible, and now he's in complete mess. In fact, he will try to work it out in the wrong way as well. But she was pregnant, so within 4 or 5 months, it would have been visible. But many times we do things and the consequences are not visible to everybody. Maybe it's just between you and God. But they are there. And we cannot underestimate them. And we cannot expect that what we do wrong, even though we are not realizing this at the moment. That's my point, even for you to examine ourselves, and even to me. I'm preaching to you, but I'm preaching to myself as well. Because God told me before that I'm telling you this. And for me, it's like, what did David do then? He, for three times, he tried to let Uriah, do you say Uriah? Yeah. Bring back home. And Uriah was Bathsheba's husband. And he was one of the best men of the army of David. He was not somebody who David didn't know. And what caught my attention was that even though David for three times made Uriah be back home, Uriah was faithful to what he was doing. Uriah was sent off to the war. He was off to the war. And even though he had a possibility to go back home, he was faithful. And David got mad because he said, I can't change the situation. If he had gone back home and sat with his wife, that's fine. Nobody would think about David being the father of the child she was getting in her womb. But now that Uriah has been faithful, what do I do? And he continues to be blind, completely blind, and the blindness is growing more and more. Because then David made the situation so that Uriah would be killed in the battle. And this for me is mind-blowing, because since I was studying David's life, I started to think what he had been doing till that moment. And I thought, he had been anointed as a king of Israel when he was very young. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God was on him, and the Spirit of God was not anymore on Saul. And David knew this. Still, he didn't want his crown before the right moment. He served Saul for many years without any problem. The moment he had the wisdom to wait, the Spirit of God let him wait for many years to be king. And he had more than once the possibility to kill Saul, but he didn't do it. He was so righteous. He was so wise. He waited. I mean, if you knew that you were anointed king of some country, and you know that the king of that country is not doing well, and the Spirit of God is not anymore upon him, but it's on you, would you wait? I mean, he's been tempted actually many times. And then he did many things. He was great. Till today, the Jews have a great reward for him. They love him because of who he was. He was the great king of Israel. He was the man after God's heart. Still, in this moment, he's completely blind. And this let me think that anybody can be in this situation. Anybody, the best preacher in the world, the best evangelist, the biggest pastor, everybody. Nobody is exempted from having temptation, having these down moments. Nobody. But the main point I want to do today is the second sentence that I told you before. That repentance moves God's hand. In fact, the Bible says that the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And then the Lord sent Nathan to David. And this shows me the love that God has for David. The Bible says that God corrects whom he loves. God knew that David was humble enough and wise enough, and he had that heart for God to repent. And God saw David in difficulty. And I imagine God looking at David and being displeased, of course, for what he had done. He had committed adultery and murder in couple of hours, you know, I don't know the time, but in a short time, he had made a mess. But still, God is there looking at him, and he thought, okay, I will do something for him. Because when we are blind, it's just God that can leave us the blindfold, the veil. And now it's just the Holy Spirit that can help us to in this journey to do this. But even who is around us. In fact, God used Nathan, the prophet. And Nathan goes to David and he tells him a story. And David gets hungry. He says, who is this man who has done all these things? Oh. And Nathan says, it's you, man. And in that moment, David is completely crushed. And in this point is when God told me, that's why I called him the man after my own heart. Because even though he's been blind, even though he's made many things, the moment I helped him to see again, he repented immediately. In fact, when he said, I did wrong, I sinned in front of the Lord, as soon as he says this, Nathan says, the Lord has forgiven you. Immediately. He doesn't wait him to pray, to repent, and to fast. David did this after. But as soon as he repents, Nathan says, the Lord has forgiven you. And I said to myself, am I able to do this? I'm a simple person. I'm a simple student in a Bible college who is trying every day to serve God. I'm not the king of any country. I'm not the governor of Italy. What if I was in that position? I mean, we need to put our shoes in David's shoes. He was the king of Israel. And everybody would know what he did. It was quite visible. A pregnancy is quite visible. So can you imagine being so famous in a sense, so important for your people, for your country, and still being able to humble himself and to say, I did it all wrong. And this what moved God's hands. In fact, David is even is so humble that he even accepted the consequences of his sin. In fact, the son that Bathsheba conceived and gave birth died. And then God tells him through Nathan, you will have trouble in your family. And if you look in the Bible, the chapter after the 12th, the 13th, speaks about David having trouble in his family. And he will, through all his life, he will have troubles with his sons and all these things. So the consequences is not just the pregnancy. That pregnancy went well, but then that son died. And still, he will carry this through all his life. So the forgiveness of God doesn't delay, cancel the consequences that we might carry after. But what I like the most of this story is that in the end, when their son died, the Bible says David went to his wife to help her and to comfort her. And it says that she conceived a son, and the son was Solomon. And it says that Nathan called him Yedidiah, which means the one who God loves. Because of the love that God had for that son, he was called Yedidiah. And for I said, God, he did a mess. Still, you gave him another son after the first one is just died, and you call him Yedidiah. the one you love. And in that moment, God told me, that is the way David repented. And because he repented and he had that heart for me, I changed completely the situation. I twisted it. And even though that relationship started as a sinful one, I gave them Solomon. And now it's much better because we know who Solomon was. And we know what he did. God gave him the opportunity and the honor to build the temple, which David didn't do. So this is just the beginning of something bigger. And it's amazing how God can change the situation. And it's amazing because God is not telling David, oh, who cares, you sin, but it's okay, I will give another son. And the Bible doesn't mean this, because he still has consequences, and he will have many trouble with his sons. But God has rewarded him, has changed that sinful situation in a good one, and he will keep his wife, and they will have this son. And I will conclude after this, and I want to really ask you, and ask myself, to think about our life, our journey with God, the way we are walking towards Him. And as I said before, any one of us can be in this situation. And maybe you are not in this situation now, but probably you will be in this, because when you chose to serve God, Satan starts to attack you, to persecute you. So everybody is in this position, and but still, let's have a humble heart as David had. Let's have a heart who is seeking God, who is ready to say, God, I made a mess, I'm sorry. And let God help us. And even let people who are around us help us. The church is made for this. Because maybe alone we will not do it. And don't be ashamed if you can't do it alone. Maybe just a little situation, not speaking about huge things as David did. But really be... I want to say don't worry, but in a sense, don't be ashamed though, if you need help, or if you need prayer, or if you need time, or if you need God to help you. And even though it will be difficult, for sure it was amazing for David to have Solomon after, but can you imagine to lose a son? Or to have trouble within your family? I don't think he was happy. And I think that every time he thought about his dead son, he was not happy. But he fasted, he prayed, and then God changed the situation. And let's God help us in this, not just today, every day, in every situation. For me, it should... I mean, sometimes you think you're in a Bible school. It's very easy to say in a good spiritual position and healthy. But actually, a Bible school is the perfect place to backslide, in a sense, because you have everything. You don't have to push yourself to pray. You have the quiet time. You don't have to push yourself to read the Bible, because people are teaching you the Bible. So just... I leave you with this thought, and take all of this that I told you from God, not from somebody who is teaching you something, because God has told me this, and I have to work on this, as everybody had to. God bless you.